What if I told you that you didn't have to go legit and that the fastest way to operate is illegitimately, risky, but it will get you going faster? I've always kind of looked at pop-ups, caterers, new pizza makers, and like wondered why. Why are you not taking the time to go get your permits, your licenses, and all of that stuff? I get that there's a cost. I get that it's timely. But the reason why I've been such a big proponent of it is because so many things can go wrong. When you choose to operate and sell food, there are a lot of factors at play. Whether that is dealing with hot ovens, potential foodborne illnesses, there's a lot of risk. And if you're someone like me who is afraid of going into debt, is afraid of getting sued, then you should probably follow the advice. Do everything legitimately. Now, while this episode is not trying to tell you to just go out there and just pretend like it's the Wild Wild West, what I am saying is that it can be a hindrance to getting started. And here is why my perspective has shifted a little bit. What I'm starting to realize is if there's no harm, there's no foul. I want everyone to know before we get too deep into this podcast that a lot of harm can happen. When I chose to take on catering events, I realized a few things. One, I was doing it for family and friends. For the most part, I did do one public event for Slice of Summer one year. That was a little nerve-wracking because it was just randos. But for the most part, my big events, they've been for family and friends of friends. And I knew that I had enough knowledge about food safety, having been food certified in the past, having worked at a couple restaurants, that I knew how to keep my guests safe. So that's one thing. Second thing, I know that I'm dealing with hot ass ovens and that if you touch the outside of it, it freaking hurts. And there will be kids, or there have been kids, at my events. And so I try to set up my ovens in a way to where nobody can touch them. I try to make sure that I have my Uni modular tables with me because I know they're stable as hell. By the way, this podcast is sponsored by Uni. And so if you need any sort of material, whether it's the oven or anything that you need to cook to make sure that you're doing things awesomely, Uni is the way to go. Check out the link in the show notes if you ever need to purchase anything from there. I understand what I'm working with, right? I can't foresee every possible situation. I can't predict catastrophic events, but I feel like I've mitigated some of the risk based off of my understanding, based off my learnings from the podcast, based off my own research. I will be the first to admit I'm still very ignorant. I feel like I always will be, right? But it gave me a little bit of confidence going in there without the proper permits. But the biggest reason why I am recording this episode today is twofold. One, your boy got his permits. But two, when I was meeting with the health inspector, my biggest fear of getting someone sick and then dealing with the repercussions of that became minimized after the conversation. You know, I've read in the past how neighbors have complained about people selling food in their home and they call the health department, they get shut down, and they have to pay these fines and litigation and blah, 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 right? That's what I was afraid of. I don't want to deal with lawyers. But what the health inspector essentially said was, in the years that she's been a health inspector, these extreme cases have never popped up. She'll get complaints. She'll go out to investigate. But the sad and scary thing that she told me was that even if the food that they tested had some sort of bacteria on it. They couldn't even prove that the bacteria would be tied to the guest and that they got it there. They could have gotten the same bacteria from a place that they ate at for breakfast. And it caused the guest to have some sort of upset stomach. Now, people in that situation could still get sued, still hurt people. But again, if you know how to protect people and you have your best intentions and you get served safe, you take the trainings, you give a shit about what you're doing, then there's really no difference between that and operating unlicensed. And so part of why I'm telling you this, to be frank, is that I don't want you to not go after your dreams because permitting and licensing is stopping you. I think of so many people who are running their pop-ups, building their business, finding ways and loopholes around that. And like, I get it, yo, like, I'm not gonna think twice about people who are operating without going legitly. But let me be the first to say that I think you absolutely should if you are planning to take your business seriously. Like, that is the cost of doing business. If you have to get an LLC in California, your fees after the first year are $800. Do you have enough to cover that and to be able to live off of the pizza you're selling? If not, find a different way, or find a different product to sell, or find a different way to sell your product. But you also wouldn't know if that product is for you unless you actually start doing it. So I am not recommending you do get your permits or you don't get your permits. I am saying that I understand both sides now and that you should do what is best for you. Educate yourself in all possible ways and then get to work. And if getting to work means taking the time to go get permitted, which I did, or get to work and finding friends and family that want to hire you for your event, knowing that you're going to do your absolute best to give them an amazing, fun, and safe experience, then go do that. What I don't want you to do is feel inundated with too many decisions and too much research and not know what to do. Do things that move the needle. I did mention that I got permitted, right? And we should probably talk about that. I could go over everything that you all want me to go over. I'm open to questions, so DM me on Instagram at whatsgooddough or email me idriff@whatsgooddough.com. Where we're going to start here is I'm actually going to open the email up from the health inspector for the first time. This was sent to me 2 days ago from when I'm recording this, and I haven't even opened it. I saw the headline, MECO approval to operate, but I didn't read it. Before we continue on with the episode, I want to give a huge shout out to Cordo Olive Oil. The difference between quality versus commodity, fresh versus rancid, is night and day. That's why amazing pizza makers like John Arena, Laura Meyer, and Chris Decker use these at their restaurants. But seriously, Cordo is an amazing product. And if you make pizza professionally, whether you do a pop-up or run a brick and mortar, you can try it out for free. Just email me, idriff@whatsgooddough, or DM me on Instagram, @whatsgooddough. I'll also leave that information in the show notes. Thank you to Cordo for sponsoring the podcast. Good morning. I have approved your MECO permit application for blank at blank address. You can now begin operating. Underlined. Your permit expires November 30th, 2024. My administrative support will email you a copy of your permit. The original permit will be mailed to you. Once you have the permit, you must add the PR number to your advertisement. The permit must be displayed whenever the Miko is operating. If you wish to change your menu, operating days, please contact me as soon as possible. An hourly rate will apply with a 1 hour minimum should the menu change be extensive and take time for review. We will not charge the additional fee if you submit a change of menu at the time of permit renewal. You will receive a notice from this department regarding instructions for permit renewal. Should you have any questions or concerns, please do not hesitate to contact me. Thank you and good luck. The hell? They got an hourly rate up in this? Yo. So I'm sure there are a number of questions. I guess the first one for me is how much of the hourly rate, right? I'm clicking the two attachments here, but I don't see any pricing. Basically, they attached an inspection report that will let me know how my inspection is, and they also attached like a letter that says I can on the letterhead that says I can start operating. But you may be thinking, what is a freaking Miko? M-E-H-K-O, Micro Enterprise Home Kitchen Operation. Your boy is legit now. I can legally sell food out of my home, and I can also give away food from my home, and I can deliver it to people. I can have them eat here. I can have them pick it up. Yo, that's big, right? That's pretty big. What I can't do is I can't operate under DoorDash. What I can't do is I can't cater. And I also can't use this, which I unfortunately wanted to do, which is, you know, have catering clients come here, try out the food, and then like decide they want to book catering. I mean, I don't know. There may be a way around that. I mean, like, if I have one business card that says I'm a caterer and I get my catering license, which I'm thinking about working on, will they stop me? You know? So, but yeah, essentially I did this because a few months ago I was like, yo, we gotta sell pizza. Right. And not in a restaurant setting. I am still just back and forth with that idea. I don't think I have the commitment level at the moment to be able to do that. I'll be the first to say that, you know, this won't replace my income because there is an income cap for a micro enterprise home kitchen operation. Going back to that, I found this program last year as I was looking at options for how to make additional money. And I think I was looking at it after I entertained the idea of getting my cottage food license. At the time, cottage foods, you can only make like $50,000, and then you could only sell non-potentially hazardous foods, which meant no cheese or dairy or meat, anything like that. It's literally just baked goods. And I was thinking, oh, maybe I can sell focaccia or my par bakes and kind of let people know instructions on what kind of cheese to get, where to get your pepperoni, how to cook it as pizza afterwards. But then I thought to myself, like, I could do that, but I want to sell pizza. And also $50,000 is kind of mid. And that's sales. That's not profit, right? Like if you took home $50,000, I think you can live a modest life if your partner works in the Bay Area, right? Some people make it, but not with the current expenses, not with the kids, unless you are trying to live a very low income lifestyle. And in the Bay Area, that is super, super low income. Right. But when I saw this new law about home kitchen operations, California had adopted it a few years ago. And it was up to the counties, individual counties, to participate or not. And I was just listening to a podcast from my buddy Chris Spear, Chefs Without Restaurants. If you all are a chef without a restaurant, aka pop-ups, caterers, all that, you should definitely listen. But he was talking with the head of the Personal Chefs Association, and he said that, you know, LA County, because it's so big and so vast, they're not participating in this. So I'm very lucky that Santa Clara County was participating in it. But when I went to the county website, it said, we'll have updates for you. We don't know when this is going to go down. You know, so I would check on and off and on and off. And finally, 1 month, it said, check back in 2023. And I was like, hell yeah, dude. And to be honest with you, I would check in regularly. Still no update. Apparently, they opened up applications for permitting back in April, but I completely forgot about it until September. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was me figuring out my dough formula again and really getting in touch with my dough. Maybe it was releasing my episode with Tio's. Maybe it was a combination of the two, plus the fact that I re-released June's Pizza and how he got shut down, right? Interesting. I think my brain just had a hunch, like, let's go check. And so I did. And on September 12th, I had finished my application. I honestly filled it all out in one day, and then I sat on it. I was like, do I really want to do this? I think I sat on it for 2 days over the weekend. And then Monday, September 12th, I sent it off. And I was like, yo, here's everything you needed. It basically just required you to talk about your operation, what you're going to be serving, what are the name, where's the address, the names, all of these things. And I wouldn't say it was difficult. I would say that it just takes a little bit of time. They're going to ask you if you're food certified. It's going to tell you that you need to be food certified. The process is very simple and straightforward. But what I will say is that it's paperwork. And if you don't know how to do that, you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to find someone to help you, because that's what it takes to go off into doing what you want to do in life. You have to dive into the unknown sometimes, right? You have to get uncomfortable. But yeah, pretty easy stuff. And I went back and forth with them, because you don't actually have, you can sell multiple things, right? And I chose not to sell just pizza. I think chicken wings and pizza are a childhood favorite. And so I'm thinking about selling chicken wings too, but they had a lot of questions about my chicken wing process, using sous vide. How do I store them? How do I get it cold? What are the times and the temps? Even with my dough, oh my goodness, here's the crazy part. The rule is you can do it day of and you can start at 12 a.m. And so what I plan to do is do a room temperature fermentation starting at 12 a.m., day of service. And then I'll probably just do dinner services so that I have time to ferment my dough. I mean, the Neapolitans did it, right? One day ferment, overnight, room temp. So I'm just going to use a little bit of yeast. I'll try to get flavor from switching up flours, or maybe adding a little bit of, like, I'm getting a sack of Karen Springs for participating in Slice Out Hunger. So I'm going to be experimenting with that and seeing how it tastes in 24 hours. I'm just going to try and draw out as much flavor as I can with my dough. But truthfully, honestly, like, I'm not even fazed. Here's why. Real quick, I want to talk about my show sponsors, Baccio Cheese. Baccio Cheese is an exceptional Italian pizza cheese. It's uniquely crafted using their signature with a kiss of buffalo milk. And with their amazing process, they go from cow to cheese in just 48 hours. But honestly, though, Forget about the cows for a second. Let's talk about performance. It has an exceptional melt, reheat, and stretch that performs well across a variety of ovens. And personally, I've tried it myself, and it is phenomenal. I tried their pre-shredded option around my Detroit crust, and I was able to get a beautiful golden frico that tasted delicious. If you want to learn more about Bacio Cheese, check them out on the website. I'm going to go ahead and link them in the show notes below. Thank you for supporting our show sponsors. So back to the show. I just want to get this experience under the belt, right? I do have some semblance of a plan of how to make more money from pizza, how to put out a product that I really want to put out. And I think that involves some sort of catering. But I think being able to get reps in and day out, or at least maybe 2 to 3 times a week on the weekend, not only will help support me financially, but also give me the practice that I need to get good. Because that's the only way, right? Like if I want to kill it at a catering event, if I want to be able to teach people how to make my pizza, then I need to fully understand my process and know it super well. And having this sort of practice will get me there, right? I also just taught my first pizza class, and I'm thinking that I can use the Miko in my pizza classes. Why? It's a service versus selling food. And there's a markup for this service. There's a markup for this experience. And if you can teach someone pizza, it not only is it the greatest honor, according to my buddy Craig over at Gracie's in Portland, but also, in order to be able to teach something, you have to know something super well. And if I want to teach my staff in the future how to do something, I need to have sharp communication skills to be able to do that and a thorough understanding of the process. And so I'm kind of just spitballing here as to what is going to happen, what's going to go down. There's a lot of potential. There's a lot of opportunities. But I think what's most exciting is that I am one step closer to making pizza a full-time thing, right? It feels like I'm sort of disjointed in a way. I don't want to be like everything to everyone. I don't want to be a caterer, pop-up operator, home pizza maker, a teacher, a podcaster, or whatever, right? I'm putting a bunch of these labels on me, but I just want to be about pizza right now. And right now, I'm about pizza. I'm about my W-2 job. I'm about trying to find other ways to make money for the time being. And so I think this is a step in the right direction. And I encourage you, if you're unsure of where to take your first step into the pizza world, just take one step at a time. Try out this, try out that, try out this, try out that. And when you find one that you like, that you feel truly rewarded, that you feel supports your creative itch, that you feel supports who you are and who you want to be, go for it. Attack it. Double down. And in the meantime, I'm going to continue doing all of these things and reporting back to you all to let you know how I'm enjoying the process. Right? I think part of this pizza journey is to show you the journeys of others, but also to let you in on a little bit of the insight on how my journey is going. And so I appreciate it if you've made it all the way to the end. I appreciate you for listening and tuning in week after week. I hope to have more amazing content for you all and more updates about how the process is going. I love you. Till next time. Peace.